Do we not need our spirits lifted? Yes. Do we not need to sing more praises to God all the time? Yes, we do, all the time, right? But what about the times in which life doesn't go your way? Anybody in the room ever been disappointed? Just a few of you, right. I'm sure the people listening on the internet are waving their hands at us, right? Right. We've all faced disappointment, have we not, in our life? Yes. We've all had times when we would call unanswered prayers something that happened to us, right? Sometimes our prayers are not answered the way we expect them, are they? And sometimes we don't understand the things that happen in our lives, in the world, what people do, what circumstances happen, the kind of tragedies that we face, the kind of losses that we see, the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, all those things. We can't always grasp them, can we, intellectually and or especially emotionally, right? What do we do in those times? What do we do in those times? That's why we have a church. See, the reason we have a body of believers together is so that we can help you on that journey, wherever that journey takes you. We're here to be beside you. We may not understand what you're going through. We may not have walked that same path as you. We may not have suffered the kind of loss you've suffered. We may not understand what you're going through, but we're here for you, right? That's why God created the church. It's a body of believers to help support one another. That's what Christ established with his disciples. And he went around all the towns and villages throughout his ministry. Jesus traveled to places that no one else would go, to the outcast, to the brokenhearted, to those that were lost, to those that were set aside, to those that were hurting, to those that were rejected. Jesus called upon those people and said, "Come to me if you're heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, my rest." Just be in that presence of rest sometimes, where what you don't understand, God's peace can come upon it at times, right? And we see Jesus' ministry as one in which people saw miracles, did they not? And I don't know about you, but so very often when the people traveled with Jesus, just knowing he was coming into town, people knew that miracles were going to happen, right? Right? They just knew it, so they had high expectations, didn't they, right? And do you have high expectations of God very often, right? All right. But let's go to John chapter 11, and let's talk about when those expectations of ours aren't met. This is a great story, and it's also something I think that can apply to all of our lives. John 11. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Martha and Mary. This is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, the one you love is very sick." Now, why did they send that message to Jesus, do you suppose? Expecting him to do what? A miracle. Come and heal their brother Lazarus, right? So this is how very often when word got out that someone was in need, messages and messengers went, and they went and found Jesus and would ask them to come back, right, and heal. So what were they expecting, Martha and Mary? A miracle that Lazarus would be healed. Verse 4, but when Jesus heard about this, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this." Verse 5. Although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days and did not go to them. Wow. What's the first thing we're learning here? Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, right? And yet God had another plan for what Jesus was to do, right? So God, you told Jesus, stay back. You're not going to heal him of this sickness, evidently. That was the conversation that God had with Jesus. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they don't know about this conversation, right? But we're told here that Jesus says, I will receive glory from this. We don't know what the this is yet, right? Next verse. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days and did not go to them. Finally, after 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. Where was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Judea. Bethany, outside of Judea. So he's going to do a little bit more what? Stalling, isn't he? He's not going right away, real quick. He's not getting on that speed train or airplane to zip himself right to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He's waiting, isn't he? He's holding back, right? But the disciples objected. Don't you love how disciples object with Jesus? They're the bravest men that walk on the face of the earth, if you ask me. Although none of you ever object right to anything. Never. Okay. Teacher, they said, only a few days ago, the Jewish leaders in Judea were trying to kill you. Are you going there again? So what's happening with the disciples? They totally, first of all, forgot about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, right? Right? You'd have thought they would have said, wait a minute. Aren't you going to go heal Lazarus? What are they worried about? Jesus getting killed. You see how we all have our own agendas, don't we? We all have our own perspective of what we think God ought to be doing, right? Huh? Right? From time to time? And then Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. As long as there's light, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. Only at night is there danger of stumbling because there is no light. Who's he referring to? Himself. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. Does Jesus care what's going to happen to him going to Judea? Does he think he's going to be killed there? Why is he not afraid of that? He knows already how he's going to die, right? God's already got the plan, and God's already told Jesus, you're going to go to Jerusalem and hang on a cross and die for all humanity, right? So he doesn't get distracted really easily by these disciples, right? But he also, he's not afraid, so he's going to go do what God is calling him to do. All right. See, the thing about Jesus is he doesn't have any expectations, right? He just has obedience. He sticks with the plan that God put in his path, right? We could learn a lesson from that. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was having a good night's rest. But Jesus meant Lazarus had died. Whoa, what happened? You mean to tell me Jesus didn't care about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? He just let the man die? He avoided going there to heal him? He didn't care about him? Is that what we sometimes think when our prayers are not answered? God must not love me anymore. God doesn't care about me anymore. God's forgotten about me. Right? Do we not think that as a human being? Yes. Of course we do. Right? What did we read in the prior scriptures? Let's use our memory. We read in the scriptures that Jesus what? Loved Lazarus. Loved Martha. Loved Mary. He loved them. This is not about not loving us. It's about sometimes God has something greater in mind for us or for our loved ones. Or for God's glory to be seen. And let's keep on reading. I will. All right, thank you. The disciples. Because this next verse means everything. He says, and for your sake. And for your sake. For your sake. I am glad I wasn't there. Because this will give you another opportunity to believe in me. See, sometimes God uses even the tragedies that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus face. Martha, Mary lost their brother. They had anticipated and expected God to come heal him, but their brother dies right before them. They have no idea what Jesus is doing. They just think perhaps that he's forgotten them, right? They're in sorrow, in grief, in loss. But what's God's plan in this? So that things happen sometimes in circumstances in all of our lives so that other people can benefit and believe in God because of it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that kind of person that God uses for bad things happening to me. I really don't. You hearing me, God? But there are testimonies. I could tell you some of the things that have happened to me. And honestly, I have. Right? Many of you know some of the things that occurred to me in my childhood. Sexual abuse, for example. I had a sister who was brain damaged, couldn't walk or talk. I was bullied as a result of it. And my mother used to always ask, why did God do this to us? Why did God punish us? My mother didn't know these scriptures that said Jesus loved the Stone family. I now know as an adult woman that because of my childhood, I can counsel with people and say, I know where you've been. I know what shame feels like. I know what guilt feels like. I know what abuse feels like. I know what bullying feels like. I know what hurt feels like. I know what rejection feels like. And I can be so compassionate as a result. I've learned that so that I can allow other people to be themselves wherever they are in this life, right? God was glorified in that. It's not me that became this wonderful person as a result of those things. It was because God somehow ministered to me. You understand what I'm saying? In those times. And used to promise me that this too shall pass. And one day, it'll be something that'll help somebody else. We all have that, don't we? We all have. It's always for the opportunity of helping someone else so other people can believe in God's power and grace. Do we only want people to believe that God is a healing God? Does everybody get healed? Do some people die?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a healing.
Amen. Let's keep moving. So Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. So we hear Thomas's reaction to this, right? We hear Thomas's reaction. Here's his reaction. We're all going to die if we go with him. Don't you love those catastrophic thinkers in your group? God's calling you to something great. God's calling you to go do something and bring God's glory to somewhere, right? And somebody says, if we go there, we'll die, or we'll get yelled at or screamed at, or they'll try to stop us. That's never happened to any of us in this church whatsoever. We keep on keeping on, don't we, right? And Thomas, I love him. But, you know, you give the guy a break. He said, at least let's go, right? He was ready to die if he had to. He believed he would. That was his expectation. That's the problem with negative expectations, by the way, though. It freaks you out, just in case you didn't know. Next verse, 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to pay their respects and console Martha and Mary on their loss. So here's what's happened. You see why Jesus waited 4 days? Why? So there would be a crowd of people now. See, in those days and even today, when someone has a loss, we crowd to them, right? We go visit with them. We hang out with them. We have the memorial service, things of that nature, right? There's a crowd of people. Because remember, Jesus' purpose in all this is to do what? Bring glory to God and also to help people believe in his awesome, wonderful power, right? Right? Okay. Many people had come to pay their respects to console Martha and Mary on their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. So he's out still on, he's not in Bethany yet, but he's on his way. Mary stayed at home. And here's one of the greatest reactions all of us have when something bad happens to us or someone that we love, right? Or some circumstance doesn't go our way. Our expectations aren't met. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, if you really loved us, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So what is she doing? She's blaming Jesus. If only. See, there's the word if is a small two-letter word, but it can mean negative things sometimes, can't it? And we can get really upset with God if you only followed my plan in life, God. If you only would do to those people that hurt me those things that they deserve, if you would only give me the lottery numbers, or on the negative side, if my sister wasn't born with brain damage, my life would have been different. Better. Do we not quit? No, see? Be careful of the word if. Be careful of it. If you loved me, you wouldn't let this happen to me, God. Right? Do we not often, and it's okay to admit that we do. That's human nature. See, when a loss occurs, we go through the five stages of grief, right? One of which is anger. And that's and the bargaining. Bargaining is the if part of it. If I had been there, if I cared for them more, if I said the right thing to them, if. The if, listen, it wasn't meant to be. That's when we eventually get to where? Acceptance. Because God has a plan, and the plan is good. It's still good. It may not be what you want. All right. So here's verse 22. She says, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." What do you think she was? That's an odd thing to say, isn't it? She's, but is it? See, part of us sometimes when things happen to us that we are disappointed about or don't understand, sometimes we do the if. And then we do the then, right? In the sense of we want our faith back, don't we? We want to believe, don't we? Even if this didn't happen, God, I still want to believe in you. I still want to believe you're good. I still believe you have a good plan for me somehow, some way. I know there's a good ending here somewhere, God. That's what Mark is saying, right? And maybe in her mind she's still a little bit in denial. Maybe she's thinking, you know what? Maybe you could raise my brother from the dead. I don't know what she's thinking because the scriptures don't say. But I know sometimes our thoughts, what they are, right? If this hadn't happened, then that. And then we go to the point of, but God is good. See, we do need a good but once in a while, right? B-U-T. But God is good. So we have to get rid of if and if only. But God is good, right? And throw the and in there. And God is good all the time. All the time. All the time. And all the time, God still loves us, right? He didn't stop loving Martha and Mary, did he? Or Lazarus? Did he ever stop? Did the scripture say, well, you know, he said, oh, the heck with them. I got other things to do. I got other people to save. It isn't about not loving. Understand that this morning, right? You getting me? Because, listen, I have a feeling that things aren't always going to go your way. I have a feeling that life is going to happen to you and to me and to us and to this world. I have a feeling that every once in a while we're going to be disappointed. Christmas is coming. I promise you, you'll be disappointed. Have low expectations. If only they bought me. Oh, never mind. Okay. But listen, look at the beautiful next verse. Verse 23. Jesus told Martha, your brother will rise again. When tragedy strikes, when things don't go our way, we rise again. When things fall apart, we rise again. When people leave us, we rise again. When we die, we rise again. That's a great and. And we rise again. And then Martha, poor thing, she says, yes, when everyone else rises on Resurrection Day. She's got the scriptures in her head. Jesus told her, next verse, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. Plain and simple. Right? Believe that, church? Yes, you do. I know you do. They are given eternal life for believing in me. What was he going about this to do? What was his purpose? To have people believe in him. What's the purpose of the church? This church, Christ the Cornerstone. We want people to believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrecting power and life eternal through him, right? That's what we believe in. And she says, yes, Lord. I have always believed you are the Messiah. I got to stop yelling. The Son of God. The one who was coming to the world from God. Then she left him and returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. So where's Mary? She's back waiting in Bethany, right? With the people there. Martha's been over here by herself with Jesus. Do you notice that we always need a one-on-one with Christ? Do you notice how when you're at your lowest or going through something in your life, I promise you this, Jesus will come and minister to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he may even send a person as the one that is that incarnate for you, right? While you're alone, off to the side, right? And you can say your if-onlys to that person. It's okay. And we're going to remind you that you will rise again and that God is good, right? So Mary now goes and visits Jesus. Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people were at the house trying to console Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. Now, Mary goes, and here comes the crowd now, right? This is exactly all in God's plan, isn't it? When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet and said, same thing Martha did, Lord, but isn't there, there's a distinction there. Do you see the scriptures? Martha is standing talking to Jesus, most likely yelling at him because that's her personality type, right? If you had been here, what's Mary do? Falls at her feet. She collapses in grief. And she weeps and says, if you only had been here. Now it's a different kind of if only, but it's still an if only, right? See the difference in their personalities? Now, let me ask you this. Does Jesus respond differently to the two of them in terms of the way he treats them? No, because he loves them both, right? When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, he was moved with indignation and deeply troubled. Why? That's kind of a weird response he's got, right? He's like, what's going on with these people? I think I'm going to look at this scripture and say, not one person there was saying, it's going to be okay. And I'm not saying you don't mourn with people that mourn, but sometimes just only going that far with it, let me put it this way. If we have a memorial service or a funeral and we don't tell people about the resurrection of the body, we do them a disservice, don't we? It's one thing to say, yes, the person's dead and we have loss. And of course, we grieve that, right? It's okay to mourn that and cry over that. But there's also the and part of that, isn't it? Because what should we as believers be telling someone who loses someone? The gospel. The gospel message that they will rise again. And I think that's why Jesus has this visceral reaction here, because nobody believes in the resurrection. And he's like, oh, after all I've done, You see my point? All right. And it bears itself out by then. It says, Jesus told them, come and let Lord come and see. They said to him. Then Jesus wept. See, he's not a man without feelings. He went through the grief too. And maybe he was also weeping for the fact that those people weren't believers. Sad that they sometimes have no hope, right? The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him, right? Let's put it this way. When you go through loss, God does weep with you and for you. He does feel your sorrow. He does feel your pain. He does. He's a compassionate, empathetic God. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? You see the attitude here? And I know about you, but I get upset with that crowd. Why are they picking on Jesus like that? He did heal a blind man. But sometimes, don't we wonder, if he healed this person, why can't he heal me? If he healed that in my life, what's going on with this, right? See, that's a why question we often ask. Can I give you this counsel this morning to never ask why, except to say, I know God is good. And there must be a good reason for it. All right. They came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha said, Lord, by now he stinks. He's been in there. There'll be a terrible smell because he's been dead for 4 days. Here comes a bad butt. Remember when Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life? What should Martha have been thinking on the way to the tomb? Just a guess. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus is going to this tomb to raise him from... Could possibly be. But she still hanging on to that sense of doubt, which is okay. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? All right, church, enough about Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. For you, when you have expectations of God, when something doesn't go your way, and when disappointments come your way, when we say to you as a pastoral team sometimes, God will see you through this. God has an answer for this. We might not know what it is, but we believe something good is going to come out of this. And God's going to be glorified in it. Just keep believing. What are you going to say to us back in return? Well, if only God loved me, or, but, or, yeah, I've seen that happen for other people, but it never works for me. Or. And then we simply say, I say, just hold on and wait and see. And I promise you that something good is going to come out of this. It may not be today. It may not be 10 years from now. It may not be 20. But I promise you this. You're going to either learn something, grow from this, or somebody else is going to be blessed by it. And then what usually happens, just in all the 23 years I've been pastoring? Let me put it this way. Something good always happens with that person, one way, shape, or form. And do you know what I usually say? I love this particular verse. It's like one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? Do you understand how important belief is in God's goodness? And that everything does work its way out to something good? Anybody in the room ever seen anybody come out of a tragedy and become better for it? Yes. Have you not seen of things that groups are formed, foundations are formed, situations that are changed for other people because of something one other person went through? Is that not showing God's glory? Yes, it is. So, Oh, by the way, Jesus yelled for Lazarus, and he came out. Just to end the story for you. Spoiler alert. But before he does that, Jesus calling Lazarus out, in verse 42 it says, well, I'll go back. He says, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me, because he had already yelled for Lazarus to come out. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here. See, every time you give a testimony about something good that God has done for your life, even little, big, or everywhere in between, who is it for? The sake of other people, right? Every time you tell somebody something good that God has done and where you've come from and where you've come out of a situation, whatever it might be, when someone stands up here and says they're clean and sober for 2 years, God is glorified by that, right? When some of you came out of abusive relationships and walked away from that, and you're now free and you now make different choices, God is glorified in that. When you chose to believe in God's goodness and not become bitter because of an awful, terrible, tragic loss, and you decide still to serve God in spite of that awful, terrible thing that happened to you, that caused you to be shaken to the very core of your being and changed everything about your life and your future, and you choose to still serve God and praise God, that bring God glory, and it's for the sake of other people. That's why I believe it's so important that our reaction, your reaction, my reaction to disappointment matters, not only to yourself, but to other people as well. So I want you to give up your if and ands. No. Your buts. Very good. Because there needs to be no ifs and no buts. But there does need to be an and. Because with God, remember, there's always a comma in our life. There's always a story after it. And no matter what you go through, I promise you, I'm making a promise, if you believe in God, he'll help you through what you've gone through. And somehow, some way, other people will believe in God too. Now, are you going to have more disappointments in the future? Yes, you are. I promise you that. Christmas is coming. But here's the thing. If you don't have expectations of what God should do for you, you'd be a lot happier most days. If you only had trust and only belief in God's love for you and that God will take your circumstance and turn it into something good, if that's what you'll believe from this moment forward, you'll be a lot more at peace. And so will the people around you. So some of you are expecting the sermon to end. Some of you expected it to end a long, long, long time ago. And yes, you're sadly disappointed. But I want to leave you with this. If nothing else, always believe in God's goodness. Always believe that God has a wonderful, beautiful plan for you and your life and your loved ones. Always believe that there is life after death. Always believe that no matter what you go through and how far down you fall, you will rise again. And when you do, be assured of this. I will say to you, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see heaven? You would see Jesus face to face. You will see your heart mended, your soul redeemed. You will see glory that you've never even dreamed possible. And when you share your story of what you believe to people, of a people, there are so many people that don't believe, that have lost hope, that think that their life is over and ended, that are stuck in tragedy and stuck in bitterness and stuck in sorrow and grief. We are here to tell those people, God loves you. Even though this happened, God loves you. And God will sustain you and bless your future. And you, too, will rise again. So the mantra today for each and every one of us, I will rise again. I will rise again. I will rise again. I will rise again. And God will be glorified in the process. Amen. Amen. Amen.